Catherine Gallagher. I don't know if you've ever carried a tree through the underground, but this was my experience. The year of the tree. I carried a tree through the underground. It was hard. At first, people scarcely noticed me and the oak I was lugging along the platforms. Heavier than a suitcase and difficult to balance. We threaded through corridors, changing lines, up and down stairs, escalators. And for a moment, I imagined everyone on the planet taking turns to carry a tree as daily rite. A few people asked, why a tree? I said it was for my own edification. A tree always has something to teach. Sharp gusts whirred through the corridors, rustling the branches, as I hurried on past the sweepers picking up rubbish, scraps of paper. Be sure to take the tree with you, they said. Don't worry, I'm taking it to my garden, the start of a forest. When people stared, relax, I said. It's a tree, not a gun. I've lived in London since 1979, but I grew up on a farm in central Victoria, Australia, at Eastville, a small place, a crossroads really, a church, post office and school, no pub. Nearby was Lanakuri, which had a river. Lanakuri, the title of the poem, is really about my childhood and memory. It's a pantoum, a special form, where the second and fourth lines of the first stanza become the first and third lines of the second, and so on. So there is some repetition and interweaving which makes for a narrative. Lanakuri. Lanakuri on the Loddon, with its long Aboriginal name. Lanakuri, the strange sound of it, not knowing what it meant. The Loddon, fringed by stout red gums, with their knotted roots reaching down into the riverbed, the stones, the mud. Lanakuri, the strange sound of it, not knowing what it meant. The Loddon, my first river, measuring over my head and reaching down into the riverbed, the stones, the mud. More interesting than a dam or mere waterhole. The Loddon, my first river, measuring over my head. Prickly January, there to see cousins swim the Loddon. More interesting than a dam or mere waterhole. Ted Malone dived, and like a troop of tumblers, we followed. Prickly January, there to see cousins swim the Loddon. Always ready to scream ourselves hoarse. Ted Malone dived, and like a troop of tumblers, we followed. Childlike, we trusted the river's bulges, its twists. Always ready to scream ourselves hoarse. Looking back 40 years, two brothers and a cousin lost to lethe. That day, childlike, we trusted the river's bulges, its twists, as magpies, kookaburras and wagtails swooped by. Looking back 40 years, two brothers and a cousin lost to lethe. That day, we played water polo, raced against each other, while magpies, kookaburras and wagtails swooped by. And we swam full pelt into the rippling swell. That day, we played water polo, raced against each other, and our parents watched, faces mottled in eucalyptus shade, as we swam full pelt into the rippling swell, with never a thought for the futures in waiting, carrying with us always the mud and the stones and the memory of Lanakuri on the Loddon, with its long Aboriginal name. Aware only of the day, the heat of sun, the cool of water. The Loddon, fringed by stout red gums with their knotted roots. The next poem is on Tont, another nature poem, and this time it's about birds, which I heard talking away, and it seemed they were having quite a conversation. On Tont. It's that time of the morning when the suburbs are pure, stripped clean, and the birds are out, not changing the subject whatever it is, with sometimes a rush of song, as one by one they fit into their feathers. Just now, there's one who chatters, never stops, and there's one who listens, occasionally answers. An audience of one is enough. When I read that poem, people sometimes laugh, and sometimes they don't laugh, and I usually remind them that's supposed to be funny. However, it's great to have an audience for poetry. Three poems now from my sequence after Kandinsky. I'm interested in ekphrastic art and did a sequence of poems after Kandinsky's abstract paintings from the 20s, the Bauhaus period. And these are just full of colour, mostly abstract, but shockingly alert. And my first Kandinsky exhibition was a great experience, but certainly it left me wanting more. And after this first exhibition, I did a poem which was called Kandinsky Journey. And I took the epigraph for this current sequence from the poem. When you arrive at a state of shock, the paradox of colour will balance you. So the first one is going to be horizontal, about the time when the Iraq war was announced. Second is a poem for the planet, blue painting. And the third one, again a celebration of colour, is yellow, red, blue. Horizontal. Chimneys, spires, half-moons lean over you, holding the idea of settlement together. It is night, and the city has put itself to bed once more. Those who have survived are in their shelters. When you feel the dream slipping, you are most endangered. Your enemies and friends know it. If you lose your balance, search for the nearest horizontal. Nothing, you tell yourself, can save you from the war about to start. Blue painting. Let the eye investigate blue, and all the arrows focus gravity. Across the spectrum, cerulean, Prussian, cobalt. A patch world of hues, quilts, galaxies. Remember Earth, the blue planet? How it takes you into backdrops for a rose, a hyacinth. The single flowers multiplied under a clean sky. Yellow, red, blue. Watch the animal eyes that whisk corners faster than an angel breathing passwords in a mesh of yellow. Cloud shore, life flags itself on. Circle after circle is mapped in the mystery of a line quicker than an arrow, shot from left to right. The dark corners turned in on themselves, while the sea advances up the cliffs. Presently a cat walks tall out of the waves, eyes open, heading for the fire at the center. The red waves fanned, turn crimson, surrounded by purples that ferry the jigsaw's spell. Choices multiply, resonate, form patterns for love songs the heart claims again and again. In the background, dark moons, resilient, juggle patchwork squares, lines and curves. Light bounces off them as finally the perfect blue you've been waiting for dips, tumbles into the still of the storm. Among reds, purples, all shades. This country you keep coming back to, that walks you home to yourself. One of my favourite places around London is Knebworth Park. We used to go there for picnics and fun nature walks and so on. This poem is about one day when my son was about 5 and he was singing to sheep, Baa Baa Black Sheep, and I've put that in the poem as well. Knebworth Park. A cave of air softens, hovers over our heads. We've waited all year for this, the March lull, the park almost tourist-free. Put your ear to this unsettled soil, sound out the mating calls of otters, rabbits, voles. hear horses' hoofbeats pound nearer, far. I have made an altar of calm among these aging oaks, lines of stiff-backed trees. Our walk circles the ancient house, grounds set off by daffodils. A 5-year-old sings a nursery rhyme, wanting to pat sheep. Their beady eyes distract, promising only puzzles. We call ourselves comfortable explorers. Notice a wine glass left among the ferns. A squirrel skids into wintry hiding. As the light fades, we study each other's faces for signs of sun. I guess after all these years, I'm a traveller. And in this next poem, The Brief of Travelling, I tried to put down some of my ideas about what travelling's about. The Brief of Travelling. I pitch my tent on the edge of the desert, watch the helter-skelter mirages, savour the journey's spell. My trek is restless for found treasure, flaring birdsong for rivers that unfold. It has blind trails like bushwalker's maze, the weather white-wearing hot. It has its terrors of forgetting, stark monuments and forbidden marsh. It has its long-sighted, crafty Crusoe, its footloose, wily Gulliver. The final poem is The Dream is the Ocean, and after David Attenborough's program on the planet and various other programs that we're hearing all the time about the ocean, it's becoming much more important in our imaginations. And I love dolphins, so I'm celebrating the ocean and dolphins in this poem. The dream is the ocean. The ocean calls the dolphin. The dolphin calls the wave. The wave calls the sun. The sun calls the coral. The coral calls the colour. The colour calls the fire. The fire calls the moment. The moment calls the light. The light calls the shine. The shine calls the spray. The spray calls the deep. The deep calls the dolphin. The dolphin calls the dream. The dream is the ocean.
Beginners by Bellis McKenzie. This is a poem based on my experience of bringing a newborn baby home. Beginners. We two left in morning light, return to night as three. I carefully introduce you to your tiny basket. Far from the safety of the ward, left to our own devices, exposed, inadequate. We puzzle over our cocooned miracle, shocked by your newness, fresh, unpeeled, hours for the making. We watch obsessively, worried you will wake up, terrified that you may not. A roomful of beginners. This poem is about my experience of taking my two young daughters to a gallery. The elder one had learnt about the artist Georgia O'Keeffe at school, so I took her to an exhibition about the artist, and my younger one was also with us. White Iris. We enter the early years, attempting to make our mark amongst the masses. Unleashed, you rush to the brightest watercolour, my concentration dampened by the need to steer you close to me, with half an eye on your sister, who oscillates between escaping and clinging on to me, asking if we're going home yet. I say we're in room 1 of 12. We pass through New York cityscapes, Lake George. In room 6, Flowers and Still Lives, you announce the White Iris as your favourite. You tell me Georgia had lived to 98. That must seem an impossibility when you have just turned 6. We travel through Ghost Ranch to the southwest, reach the shop where you choose a calendar, your sister a pencil. I settle for a postcard. You tell me not to forget my coat. Remind me where I put the cloakroom ticket. I am tired and grateful. Motherhood is a circus act. I'm a tightrope walker, poised, balanced in this moment. One split-second distraction will send me toppling into the bottomless dark. I'm a trapeze artist soaring with no safety net, wishing for extra rehearsals as I somersault through fine-tuned air. I'm a juggler with perfect rhythm, wrapped in layers of concentration, knowing I must avoid straight eyes, hesitation, dropped balls, a crash landing. I am the clown, ridiculed in my oversized trousers, my luminous nose. I dance, recite pointless jokes to keep them amused, myself awake. I am the woman who swallows fire, surviving on adrenaline. It burns my throat. Eyes closed, I carry on without flinching. This is a poem about being captured in someone else's photograph. I was thinking about how many strangers we must have in our images, whether it be hard copy photos or photos on our phones, and how many images of others each of us must have featured in, mostly without knowing. Accidental faces. I step away a little too late, captured, blurry-edged, a nameless intrusion. I imagine them looking at it one day in a dialed-down future. They're embraced by a landmark with a ponytailed head, or just the top of it, in the left-hand corner. A barely there statement. I think of all the accidental faces we've come across. Faces of tourists queuing for the same pose. The odd background lurker. The shot invaders appearing from nowhere. The silent stalkers. I wonder how many images I've trespassed. Whether I've been edited, cropped, deleted, or whether I remain on the sidelines, incidental to the incident. The title of this poem is the title of a piece I played on the piano at my brother's wedding some time ago now. The poem is about this experience, but also about the passage of time. The rustle of spring. Your patience followed me to front room recitals, grand festival halls. Eyes squeezed shut, fingers clutching your quietly impressive lion sketches. And the cat in the hat for good luck. My long absence put on pause, I reappear as the performer at Keighley, soon discovering the fear of forgetting hasn't forgotten me yet, creeping up fox-like in the dark. I reacquaint myself with the rustle of spring. My feet mould themselves again to the pedals, my fingers caress the zebra keys, waltzing in opposite directions before returning into hold. In the interval, your junior mouse life has overtaken mine, as Zoe, ivory-clad, prepares to take our name. A crushed velvet crescendo, eager applause. My gift over, my turn to listen. I recently started playing the piano and performing again, and rubato is a phrase used in one of the pieces I've been playing in relation to the tempo of the music. Rubato. Feel the push and pull of it, you say. Play with the boundaries. The definition tells me a temporary disregarding of strict tempo. I experiment by letting the beat quicken and slacken in turn. Like the times we want a slow motion moment to be captured, to live in it, not move beyond. Then the times we want to fast forward, to get through the moment, onto the next. It means stolen time, you say. And I picture stealing a beat from the next bar, offering up a rest in exchange. Through the flow of notes, I wonder who is the time thief, where that time goes. Is it stored, stopper tight, somewhere beyond reach? And I think of all the things I've stolen over the years. A sweet, a flower, a heart.